Lord, church. It is so good to see all of you. You all look astonishingly beautiful. Could you just take your mask off for just a second so I can see what you look like? Oh, it has been a long haul. And I told someone this morning, I said, they asked, well, how you feel? And I said, well, I'm about 60%, so that's a super 60. So for all of you 60 folks out there, you sounds like an old tractor, doesn't it? Super 60. It is so good to be here today, and it is so great to have Brother and Sister Hanscom with us. Brother Hanscom is going to be speaking, teaching this morning here in our adult class, and then also in our evangelistic service at 11. But he's a former director of multicultural ministries for the UPCI. He kind of actually founded the founding member of that particular ministry within our organization. And him and his wife have done a tremendous job with the multicultural ministries. He also, right now, he kind of sets up all of our multicultural missionaries as they travel across the country. He kind of helps work with them, set up the various places, kind of like when the missionaries deputize. And also, he's retired missionary to the country of Pakistan for a number of years. But they have a book out in the fellowship hall, I'll get it all right here. Out in the vestibule, they have a book for sale, and I'd like to encourage you to pick that up as kind of a story of their missions life and how God has used them in a very mighty, mighty way. It is so great to have them here today, and we're going to have Brother Hanscom come and speak to us this morning. God bless you.
Well, it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? There's no better place than to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. And we're so thrilled to be back in Madison after a long time. I think we've been here two or three times, maybe more than that, when we were working with multicultural ministries, and it was always a great joy and a great blessing. Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Brother Grant, for allowing me to come and be here today and to speak to you wonderful people. Now, I notice you're really quiet out there this morning, so that makes me nervous, all right? So we need some activity out here, some smiling, some raising hands, some praising God, giving God glory. Aren't you glad for what the Lord has done? Has God been good to you? God's been really good to me, and I thank him. Acts chapter 12, verse 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And then verse 12. When he, speaking about Peter, had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Would you say with me? They were praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now, I want you to notice the response of these wonderful apostolic people, all right? Now, these people, I have read some of the commentary on them. Some claim that this was an extended prayer meeting. It had been going on not for hours, but for days. It was not just a little two-hour prayer meeting or an overnight prayer meeting. They had been praying for a while. And they said unto her, thou art mad. In other words, you're crazy, all right? She constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. They still don't believe it. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. We haven't changed at all, have we? I mean, these people have been praying and praying and praying and believing and believing and believing that God was going to answer their prayer. And when God answered their prayer, they couldn't believe it. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have had that experience? You've prayed, God answered your prayer. So I want to ask you this morning, why do you pray if you don't expect God to hear you? And if you don't expect Him to answer you? Why are we praying if we don't have the faith to believe that God is going to answer our prayer? That's why we pray. We believe that God hears our prayer and He answers our prayer. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe. It is going to be such a great work, God is saying. If I came down and I told you what I was going to do, you could not believe it. It's going to be such a great work. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now, everybody say now, it shall spring forth. Ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A simple thought this morning, maybe a warm-up for our later service. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Would you lift your hands together right now and let's talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. You have faith. The Bible says you have faith. But God, we need you today to help us to exercise the faith that you have given to us. Lord, talk to us through this word this morning. Lead and guide us and direct us as we believe you today for a great miracle Sunday. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, I believe.
I believe.
You may be seated. So we must believe God's word. And we must act on His word. Now, I'm going to try to teach, but I'll probably end up preaching, all right? Usually the way it happens. I believe that we have the truth. Does anybody in the house believe that? I believe that this apostolic truth is the way. Not a way, but the way. I believe we must have faith in the Lord. I believe that we must repent of our sins. We must confess our sins. And there needs to be a change in the way we live. I am convinced that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I believe that that name is, say it with me, Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. Jesus is the everlasting Father. He is my Redeemer. He's the Holy One. He's the All-Knowing One. Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. And I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Jesus is Jehovah Savior, meaning that the name of Jesus is the saving name of God. All you do in word or deed, the scripture says, do it in the name of Jesus. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I'm glad I've been buried with Him in baptism. I'm glad that I have come forth in the newness of life. I am convinced of the power of the Holy Ghost. How many have the Holy Ghost this morning speaking in tongues? How many spoke in tongues recently? I think we ought to speak in tongues often. Get that renewing of the Spirit. Let it work in our hearts. Let it work in our lives. I'm convinced of the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is more, though, than just speaking in tongues. It is more than just a good feeling. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the Spirit of Almighty God, the one true God living inside of you. The Holy Ghost, the Bible teaches us, is a comforting spirit. It is a strengthening spirit. It is a guiding spirit. It is often called the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of holiness, godliness. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about miracles this morning. I believe the gift of the Holy Ghost is the greatest miracle of all. There is nothing greater than you and I receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But I'm also convinced of the miracle working power of God. Our God can heal any sickness. Our God can heal any disease. I believe that the God I serve can deliver the drug addict. There's not a drug addict that is so hooked that God can't deliver them. Our God is a miracle-working God. There's not a son or a daughter that is so lost that God can't find them. And God can't sanctify them and save them. We believe God to save our children, our sons, our daughters. They're coming, folks. I say they're coming. If they've left, they're coming. I believe. Our God is a great God. He's an awesome God. There's not a family in Madison that is so dysfunctional that God can't straighten that mess out. Our God is a miracle worker. We are apostolic. Is there any apostolics in the house? We are apostolic people. What does it mean to be apostolic? To be apostolic means that we are apostle-like. Say that with me, apostle-like. That's what it means for us to be apostolic. When Jesus commissioned the apostles to go out and to heal in his name and to cast out devils, they just went out and did it. They didn't ask questions. They just did it. And as they went out teaching and preaching the gospel, they saw God do some unexplainable things, and they just accepted it. I've come to tell somebody here today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus Christ was ever powerful, he is still powerful today. I believe that if Jesus Christ ever performed one single miracle, just one, he is still able. He performed many miracles, you know that. But he is still able to perform miracles. He can still do it. And I believe that if we as apostolic people, as God's people, God's church, if we would just accept it, we would begin to see God move, and God would change lives by His power. Some time ago, maybe some of you have heard this, our district superintendent of the Metro New York District felt directed of God to call a prayer meeting, a citywide prayer meeting. He invited all of the churches in that district to come together on a Saturday morning to pray. Nothing else, just to pray. There was about 350 people that showed up. They started praying about 9 a.m. and they were supposed to conclude at noon. But when 12 o'clock rolled around, there were those that were travailing in the Spirit. There were some that were interceding in the Holy Ghost. And so the fine superintendent just let it go on. And that prayer meeting went on up until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, God began to speak to them through tongues interpretation. You believe in the gifts of the Spirit? And God said, because you have prayed, I have spared your city from great disaster. They did not know it at that time, but there was a young man from Pakistan that was planting a bomb in Times Square. That bomb never went off. I believe it was because God's people prayed. They prayed. The church will never get credit for that, but I believe it was because of the prayers of those people that New York City was spared great disaster. Our God is a great God, and powerful praying brings answers for sure. In Mark chapter 6, we have Jesus returning to his home, the little town of Nazareth, where he had been brought up. When he arrived in Nazareth, it did not go well for him. When he got there, he went to the synagogue. He began to teach. He began to speak to the people that were there. And some of them were very surprised. They knew something strange was going on here, but they didn't quite understand it. It wasn't what they had expected. And they didn't think it was ever possible for anything like this to happen in Nazareth. And they became very uncomfortable because Jesus began to challenge the boundaries of the world in which they lived. And you know what they said? We know this guy. We watched him grow up. He's the kid from down the street. His daddy is a carpenter. We know he's the carpenter's son. We know him. What right does he have to come here and teach us like this? And the Bible says that Jesus could not do many miracles in that place. In fact, Jesus was pretty upset with him. He said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own relatives. He wanted to do so much more, but he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. The Bible says that he was not able to do many works there. Only he healed a few sick folk. He wanted to do more, but the tragedy was that the Bible says he left. He left. What a tragedy. I'm saying to Jesus Christ today, Calvary Gospel Church, Jesus, don't leave us. Don't leave us, Jesus. We want you to stay here. We need you to stay here. don't leave us because of our unbelief. But he didn't stop. He went on down the road. He walked about 5 miles to a little town called Capernaum. And when he arrived in Capernaum, he started preaching and teaching, and all the folks gathered around, and all they could say was, "Wow, this is amazing. We've never heard anything like this before." They got excited. They didn't say, "Oh, this is the boy from up in Nazareth, the boy from up the road." All they could say was, "This is amazing, awesome." The Bible said that when the sun was going down, they brought every sick person they could, every demon-possessed person they could, every depressed person they could, every person that was having family problems they could. They brought them all to Jesus. And the Bible says that he laid his hand on every one of them and he healed everyone. He healed everyone. What was the difference between Capernaum and Nazareth? The difference was their faith. They didn't believe. He couldn't do much in Nazareth because of their unbelief. By the power of the name of Jesus, I rebuke unbelief, doubt. God, in your name today, we believe you're able to do anything. If you would just touch every individual in this house today, we know that they would be healed. We know that every situation would be worked out. There would be no spirit of oppression. There would be no depression. There would be no sickness. There would be nothing that would be left undone. We need you here, Lord. We want you to know you're welcome at Calvary Gospel Church. He healed everyone. Nobody went home sick that night. Nobody went home oppressed. Nobody went home with family problems that night. Nobody went home discouraged. They had their lives changed that night in Capernaum. It was the most incredible night in the history of Capernaum. And I've come to tell you that it was the same Jesus that was in Nazareth. It was the same power. It was the same potential. It was the same love. It was the same grace. It was the same mercy. It was the same gospel. Everything was exactly the same except their expectations. Everybody say expectations. What did you come into this sanctuary this morning expecting God to do? Did you come expecting God to do something? Whatever he does is going to be great. Praise God. I have come expecting to see the miracle worker. I have come to see the way maker. I have come to meet the deliverer. I believe Jesus Christ is here in this place. Some years ago, in the country of Sri Lanka, we spent 12 years working as missionaries in Sri Lanka, as well as Pakistan. There was a tsunami that struck Asia. Do you remember that? That tsunami was horrible. It was, I've read up on it a little bit. They claim it was the worst, it was the strongest tsunami in history. That huge wall of water that was rushing across the ocean was at the speed of over 100 miles per hour. They said it was moving faster than a jet plane. It was 138 feet high, according to the way they have measured it. When that huge wall of water struck the island of Sri Lanka, it swept inland about a mile and a half. And then it went back out to sea. It came three times. The third one was the worst. After it was all done, after everything was settled down, they estimated more than 44,000 people had lost their lives in Sri Lanka with that tsunami. My wife and I drove into the area. It was in southern Sri Lanka. It came up to where in Colombo, where we were staying, but it didn't do any damage there much. Flooded some of the buildings. But as we drove south into that area that the tsunami had struck, the devastation was unbelievable. There was a train sitting on the railroad track. It had 1,400 people on board. That tsunami picked up that train and moved it down the tracks over 1 mile. And everyone on board lost their lives. It was unbelievable as we drove into the area. It literally pulled up railroad tracks from the ground. Houses, factories, hotels was gone. Everything was gone. It was a beautiful area of Sri Lanka. Nothing left but concrete slabs in the ground where one time buildings stood. We had a lady that lived in that area. A year before, she was a Hindu. But now she's baptized in Jesus' name. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. She was teaching in our Bibles, or rather she was a cook in our Bible school. And it just so happened the tsunami came the day after Christmas, so they were on Christmas break. She was home. She told the story later. We drove up to her little house, expecting it to be gone, but it was standing. It was still standing, but everything around it was gone. Houses and everything was gone. This little house, it was the oddest looking thing when we drove up, and there was, sitting there by itself. She told the story. I was standing in my kitchen. I heard the tsunami was coming. People were screaming, shouting at me, saying, "Get out, run, run as fast as you can." But she said, "I stayed in my kitchen and I called on that name, Jesus." And she said, "When I called that name, Jesus, Jesus showed up." That huge wall of water came right up to her house and it stopped. It went this way and it went that way. And the little house was still standing. News networks from all over the world, from the United States, and they said from all over the world, they came over, they took pictures of this house. They were trying to figure it out. What happened? How is this possible? They couldn't understand it. Somebody said they saw it on TV here in America. They couldn't understand it, but we understand it because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I don't know you, and I don't know what you're dealing with today in your life, in your home. Maybe some of you have a tsunami going on in your life or in your home. But I've come to tell you that there's enough power in the name of Jesus to stop a tsunami. Anybody believe it? I say it again, it'll stop a tsunami. In the name of Jesus, stand up in Jesus' name and rebuke it. Cast it out, whatever you have to do. And God will give you victory. Praise God. Some people love to call a miracle after it's done. We're all kind of like that. Somebody gets healed, miracle takes place, we all smile, We're all happy, excited, thanking God for the miracle. But how about believing God for a miracle before it happens? We're kind of running out of people, Brother Grant, that will believe God for a miracle before it happens. If you have to see it to believe it, that's not faith. If you have to feel it to believe it, that's not faith. Faith says it's mine. I'll be dealing with this in the next service, so I'll have to be careful. I don't preach my next sermon here. But we need to have faith to believe God for a miracle before it happens. That's faith. We need faith. You know, that's what we need. We need faith. I am praying for the spirit of faith to be loosed in this sanctuary this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We must have faith. We've got to keep believing, folks. The church must keep believing for miraculous things to happen in our church and in our lives. When you look at situations, don't ever forget the scripture where it says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We cannot forget the miraculous possibilities in Jesus. We need to grab a hold of the things that the Word of God has promised to the church. Do you know that God has promised to save your loved ones? Do you realize that God has promised to heal your bodies? God has promised restoration of our backsliders. It's a promise in the Word of God. Unity of our families, protection of our children. I tell you, parents, you need to lay hands on those kids before they go out the door. In the morning, before they go to school, lay your hands on them and pray for them. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. We are living in a wicked world. We don't know what's going on out there. But I'm telling you, we need the blood of Jesus to cover our families. But the Word of God has promised to do that for us. The old timers used to plead the blood. My parents would plead the blood. I think we need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every child, every person, every individual. Praise God. Habakkuk said, I will work a work in your days, but you must forget about what's happened in the past. I'm going to do a great work, he says. Isaiah said, Don't remember the former things. Remember only the thing that he is able to do now. Now it shall spring forth. Praise God. October 17, 2021. Today, now it shall spring forth. I will make a way in the wilderness. I will cause rivers to flow in the desert. I'm saying, come on, Lord, do it now. Let it spring forth. Praise God. I'm talking about a new thing. God wants to do a new thing. But you know what? God is not going to do a new thing if we have limitations on our God and on our faith. It is time for us to remove all limitations from God and our faith and realize that God wants to do something that we cannot even ask or think. God is ready. God is willing. Is this teaching or preaching, Pastor? I don't know what. Supposed to be teaching, I guess. Sounds okay. God is ready. God is willing. God is going to blow our minds. That's what he wants to do. God has a great way of surprising us sometimes. Amen. Let's open the door. Peter's standing at the door. The miracle is standing at the door. You've been praying. Now, open the door and allow the miracle to come in. The miracle is at your door. Just open the door and allow it to come in. Those apostolics said to the little girl, "You're crazy. There's no way." Peter's out there. Peter's in jail. But in reality, the miracle is knocking on the door. If I was there, I think I could have said or would have said, "Open the door, please. Just open the door." And so let's stand as we go to our break here. As you stand to your feet, I want you to take a minute. I want you to begin to think about those things you've been praying about. Maybe you've been praying about a financial problem. Perhaps you've been praying about a family member. You've been praying about a problem in the church. You prayed, you believed. Now let's open the door. It's just what you ask for. The miracles are being born here today. The devil has stolen your faith long enough. It is time that you actually believe that it is going to happen. I declare unto you today, upon the authority of God's word, it can happen. It can happen. It can happen. I want you to expect it. God is working in our midst right now. Hallelujah. And we can expect it to happen.
Praise the Lord again, church. So Brother Hanscom was preaching, teaching. How many of you ever just had a crazy dream? Have you ever come under fire from the enemy because of you've had one of those dreams, one of those God dreams? We were at church here one night. This isn't a dream I had. And God was just doing some incredible miracles. I remember going out in the parking lot and looking across the parking lot, and I was watching Brother Perry Hicks run like he had never. Well, you look at this and you say, "Well, you know, is this just emotional hype?" You know what gets me about that scripture that you read? Nazareth, the people, they were offended. They were offended by the miracle worker. That's a shame that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that we are offended that he would seek to heal our calamities, heal our bodies. I believe that there's going to be a day when we're going to watch Perry Hicks. And the second part of that was Brother Jim Daigg was chasing him. Two men that haven't been able to run for decades, and I believe God wants. And you say, "Well, I'm not saying this to put anyone on the spot. I'm just saying this because I believe that if God gives us a dream, why not believe it? Why not believe it?" Thank you for challenging us this morning. We're going to pray here, and then we're going to take a 15-minute break. And we'll be starting our evangelistic service here at 11 o'clock. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you I thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given to us today, Lord. I'm a recipient over the last few weeks of the power of prayer. And Lord, I believe, God, I'm here today because of the power of prayer. Lord, as the prayers went forth across this congregation, and Lord, as that handkerchief was laid across my body, Lord God, I could feel your touch. God, I could feel your touch, Lord. And there are brothers and sisters here today that, Lord God, need a touch, God. Lord, we are not offended by you, Lord. God, we want you to walk right in. We want you to welcome yourself among us here today. And Lord, I believe as this day goes forth, Lord, that you are going to do great signs and great wonders to those who believe. Lord, you're standing at our life's door, just as Peter was standing, and you're saying, open up, open up, open up. Praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Brother Hanscom. We're going to take 15 minutes here, and we will be back. God bless you so very much.